You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
Remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking about sampling stuff, like sampling newer stuff?
Yeah.
You ever thought about sampling what's popping? Sampling something that's already out?
Just but take like, that piano loop.
Yeah, like slow it down a little bit and then just throw like a breakbeat over it. I don't know. We could call it like what's cracking.
What's cracking?
Welcome everybody to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. All previous episodes of Clock Radio Speakers are available on clockradiospeakers.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, at Clock Radio Speakers at CRS. We're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere you get podcasts except for You Know Where and You Know Why. And Doc is in the building. What's cracking?
What's popping? Oh, man. You know, it's very hot. Very, very hot.
Yes, it is.
But doing all right. Doing okay. Y'all can follow me on Twitter or Instagram if you want, at @Doc_beats, S not a Z. Like Armand said, just follow the show or go to your favorite streaming service, look up Armand and Doc. It's the project. You should be listening to it, you know, a couple times a day, you know, really start your day off. Armand, like if you were to recommend like a song off our project for people to like wake up to, like really like get going for the day, what's your like wake up song off that project?
Oh, Let 'Em See for sure.
Let 'Em See, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let 'Em See for sure. I'm trying to figure out what video I can use for a lyric video. I want to put out a lyric video for that next week. Mm. But I don't know what video to use. I have no idea.
That's an interesting one. Hmm. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah. It's hot. It's hot. But it's crazy. I was just talking to my wife, like, yo, it's really about to be August. Like, it's summertime for 2 weeks and it's winter for 11 months. It's trash. But yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm ready to get this crack-a-lackin'.
We got a lot to talk about. A lot of random stuff.
Yeah, you keep saying that. And I'm like, do we? But that may just be because I'm disconnected.
So we got your man, Aubrey Graham.
Okay.
We got your man, Kanye West.
Okay.
We got Logic, who is releasing an album and retiring to sign a deal with Twitch.
Keep it real. That's the thing I want to talk about the most this week.
Yeah, I figured. We didn't really talk much about Juice WRLD, but I got a quick note on him and Pop Smoke.
Okay.
DMX versus Snoop coming up on Versus. We're going to preview that.
Let's do it.
All right. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. Something light.
Something light. Oof.
I know.
Drake?
Yeah, we get that out the way.
He's back. He's in the building.
Your boy's back? I'm sorry, the boy's back.
The boy's back. Two new singles with DJ Khaled.
Me a boy.
Pop Star in Greece.
Yep.
Both produced by Oz, I think.
The wrestler? That's Kevin Nash. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so these came out and, you know, promptly went to like, you know, number one on iTunes and number two on iTunes, as, you know, as a Drake record will.
As you do.
I'm not getting the vibe, though, that either of these really captured, like, the people. You know, like, I'm not really getting a vibe that people are like, oh, it's Drake.
Nah, they're not. I think Drake is just in a down part of his career. I also think that, like, it's weird. I would say it's because of the times, but other people are putting out music and stuff is catching on. So it's not like the number one song in America is, like, Fight the Power 2020. You know what I'm saying? It's the baby and Roddy Ricch. Like,
okay. So let's say you saw on Twitter that Fight the Power 2020 was trending. What artist would you assume made that song?
Logic.
Can you? Oh, no. Oh, man. I just went on a whole roller coaster of emotions right there.
I was going to say Talib Kweli, but he's getting destroyed on Twitter right now. So it's not him. Fight maybe the baby. I don't not the baby. Maybe Lil Baby, like
Kanye?
Nah. He might have produced it. But nah.
So, you know, Drake has given singles to Khaled before. They got a long history.
They do, but ironically, he's only given him one hit, one and a half hits, right?
I'm on one, and that's the hit. No New Friends.
No New Friends is not a hit. That song is terrible.
That song is good. What are you talking
You're
about?
You're the only person I know who likes that song.
That's not true.
That's how you know who I know. No, I've never heard you. I've only heard you talk about that song in a positive light.
Really?
Yeah, for real. I would say more people like For Free.
For Free is,
it's okay. It's okay. But like To The Max, no. You know, No New Friends, yeah, but was there any other records that he did or he gave to Khaled?
I feel like there was more, but maybe not. All right, these two. The problem is if you try to, maybe it was just For Free and then the other ones.
Okay. So he had Fed Up.
What's that?
Rick Ross, Jeezy, Usher, and Drake. You remember that?
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah, that's it. It's literally Pop Star, Grease, For Free, I'm On One, To The Max, No New Friends.
So Pop Star and Grease, to me, sound like, honestly, not that dissimilar from what we heard on Dark Lane demo tapes.
I agree.
Which did okay, but not up to Drake's standards.
Yeah.
So why is he still going to that well?
I think he just probably has a bunch of records.
And he just was like, hey, Khaled.
Yeah, here's something.
Want some Drake records?
And I also believe, I know Grease leaked. I don't know if Popstar leaked, but I know for a fact Grease leaked. So I don't know why you don't keep those records and just put them out on your own or you know, put them out on Dark Lane. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the thinking was behind that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Popstar is the better of the two.
I actually kind of like Popstar.
Yeah, Popstar's cool. It's not bad.
It's cool.
It's not amazing.
Nah. Amazing Drake song? What's the last Drake song that made you say like, yo, this is crazy?
Was there anything on Dark Lane demo tapes that made me say that?
Great question.
Oof.
I don't think so.
What I don't understand is like Drake has never had a problem before reaching for the next sound, right?
I think he's still doing that.
He's missing some obvious sounds to go reach for, isn't he?
I think people are just on to his shenanigans.
And they're not willing to sign up for it?
Correct.
Like, so you would think 808 Mello, who was doing all of the Pop Smoke tracks off the mixtapes that people liked, go grab him. You would think Pooh and Jetson, who have another number one now with What's Poppin', but who also did Shug for the Baby. Like, you know Drake's dying to get called in for a What's Poppin' remix.
Yeah.
But like, there are different like sounds that are out there now. Like, have you ever heard Drake on a Wheezy beat?
Yeah. He rapped on Never Recovered. That was a Wheezy beat, right? Oh, and what's the Drake and Baby record? Yes, Indeed.
Who produced Yes, Indeed?
That's Wheezy.
Was it?
I think so.
That was like 2 years ago. But you're right. That was Wheezy. But no, like Wheezy has a whole kind of other sound right now.
Okay.
And Drake normally is pretty good about picking up on those trends. There's also, and I don't know if there's a term for this yet, so I'm going to use a term that sounds weird, but there is a kind of beat that is pretty prominent now that to me sounds like, I would call it like Renaissance Fair Trap.
What?
It's flutes or like guitars or, do you know what I'm talking about?
Does it sound like, what's that record on More Life that you really like?
No, it does not sound like anything off More Life.
No, it's, no, seriously.
Oh,
hold
Portland?
On, hold on. It's Portland?
Yeah.
Does it sound like Portland?
No, it sounds like, say, Rockstar or there's any, hold on. I need to scroll through.
Yo, so my wife and I let my daughter, we've been watching like classic 90s movies with her.
Yeah.
And we watched The Wood. So that's 1999. So all through there is like a bunch of like Dark Child knockoff beats. Like, is it time for that style? Because you're talking about Rockstar and we got like acoustic guitars with hip hop drums. Like, you know, is Dark Child peering over like Method Man in the You're All I Need video, like itching for a phone call?
It's only a matter of time before they come for the late 90s, early 2000s.
It's coming. It's coming. And Hitmaker will be ready.
Oh, yeah. You know, Hitmaker is just ready for as soon as it stinks, because, you know, he'd love to sample, I don't know, most of Aaliyah's catalog.
Of course.
So what I was saying, like, there are newer producers who are out now who normally Drake would be like, OK, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. At least we haven't heard it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, to me, the weird thing about these singles is, like, even if they're successful, like, they just sound... He sounds kind of, like, bored and uninspired right now.
Mm.
He needs something. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think he's kind of going through the motions.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out where... I wonder if either of these records will debut high up. I don't know.
Listen, nobody should like Grease. Grease is terrible, and Abel is looking at Aubrey like, you dirty dog. How dare you? Like, there's no way. There's no way. I thought it was a demo the first time I heard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I thought somebody, like, you recorded this for somebody or you wrote this for somebody. Like, oh, no, this is your record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nah, no thanks.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just not... He's not clicking with people. He seems very beatable, you know, in a way that, like, so even like 2018, right, when Scorpion was huge, but it wasn't like anybody thought that was a classic album. But his singles, he still felt kind of like he was Drake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's chinks in the armor now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, especially, you know, it's kind of amazing. Like, have you seen the numbers that, like, Pop Smoke and Juice WRLD have been putting up?
I didn't see final numbers on either one. I did hear that Juice WRLD has the number one album in the country this week. What did he do?
Juice WRLD debuted with 497,000.
That is
massive.
That's trash though.
Why do you think
it's
trash?
I just don't like the way that we just treat dead people. I don't know. Was he doing those numbers when he was alive?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of it.
I mean, you could argue like D2 or two of the like biggest album releases for like younger hip hop fans this year are by artists who are dead.
Yeah.
Which isn't something that has happened, frankly, since we were kids.
Oh, man. I listened to Are You Still Down a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That is a terrible album.
Was that a double disc?
Yes. That was the first one that came out after he died. That had, I Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto.
Yeah. I hated that video.
Oh, it had Do For Love, too.
Oh, that's terrible, too.
Do For Love is cool. It's grown on me. It sounds like an actual Tupac song that didn't come out in 1990.
I remember I paid full price for the double disc gang-related soundtrack.
For how many Tupac songs were there? Four?
Staring Through My Rear View, Life's So Hard.
Never Had a Friend Like Me was on that?
Made Figures,
that was my joint.
That beat is great.
Yeah, that beat was dope.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking of Gridlock. Gridlock had Never Had a Friend Like Me. Never mind, that was a
Gridlock too.
What was it called?
I bought Gridlocked as well.
Oh, man.
Pretty sure.
But I mean, that's like, yo.
I know.
That's what you did.
Yeah, at least that was only one disc.
Yeah, that was one disc. I bought Are You Still Down a week early because somebody stocked it at Blockbuster a week before it came out. And at Blockbuster, I don't know if you remember, but CDs at Blockbuster were like full price.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's like when you used to go to, what was the CD store that was always in the mall?
Sam Goody.
Oh,
yeah. Sam Goody. If you bought a CD in the mall, you were stupid. But I'm stupid.
Or you were there with your parents.
There with your parents. Yep. I had my sister worked in the mall, so I would like give her money. Like, hey, can you get this for me?
Yeah.
But, you know, shortly thereafter, I discovered Mom and Pops and was like, oh, wait. Prodigy HNIC, I paid $7.99 for that the day it came out.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think by then
water for chocolate,
I was mostly Yeah, I think I really stopped buying around fall 2000. Went to college.
Yeah, I stopped. You're like 01, 02? 02.
Because I went to college and I got 10 megabits internet all of a sudden. And I was just like, oh.
I remember that.
That and a CD burner.
That's when we met.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Anything else about... Yeah, so we were talking about Juice WRLD and Pop Smoke. So Pop Smoke, 2 weeks after the album came out, they released a deluxe edition.
I saw that, which was like a whole other album, wasn't it?
This is the trend now.
But how does that work? Like, you're like, okay, my question was, how many records does Pop Smoke have available? Like, how long are y'all, like, what are y'all planning to do with his legacy? I'm just used to Tupac stretching out records for 15 years, and y'all just put out 30 Pop Smoke records by a dude who didn't really get going.
Yeah, it feels like they're really, really emptying out the cupboard real fast. You know, it's like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting strategy, right? Which is like, much like we were talking about with the What's Poppin' remix, where like the remix counts towards the chart history of the original. The deluxe does the same thing. So you put the album out, you get the promo.
Mm-hmm.
Then you wait a couple weeks for it to kind of drop down and you say, oh, by the way, there's a deluxe. Now you get more stuff, especially because, you know, we've talked about this in the show. Like, so much of this is like you're throwing stuff at the wall to see what hits. If any one of these catches on in some way, you got a whole new game.
Yeah.
So it becomes a numbers game. Feels weird.
Yeah.
Feels weird. But there, you know, we also saw in the past 2 weeks since we recorded that Billboard is going to tweak their charts. Not going to, as of this fall, is that right? They're going to, they're not going to count bundles anymore in the same way.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't realize. So I guess it makes sense. So like, let's say you bought Jesus Is King vinyl. You probably got a code to like redeem the album digitally, right?
Yes.
So that used to count as like a sale. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, no, you got to wait till you actually like ship the merch. You got to like actually, you got to ship the thing. You can't just get credit for the sale now.
Did Kanye ruin that?
I think it was the big hubbub about, it started with when Nicki got mad about Travis.
Mm.
That's when it started. But who else was earlier this year? Who really was it earlier this year? I can't remember. But there was another. There have been a couple other examples where it's like, oh, I see how they got to number one. Oh, Khaled and Tyler last year.
That's right.
So they've been trying to figure this out. They're still going to continue to try to tweak it, you know.
Wait, but who was doing that? Who had the bundles? Was it Tyler or Khaled?
Oh, it was Tyler, for sure. Okay. Well, Khaled had a different kind of bundle where, like, he contracted with some company and they were, like, sponsoring and they were, like, buying some of that. I don't know. It was pretty... He tried to pull, like, a Jay-Z Samsung thing.
Oh.
And they were like, no, these don't count. And he was mad because he, you know, he was probably looking at it the way that, like, a college basketball coach looks when NCAA tells them that we caught you paying for players. And he's like,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And
yeah,
what do you think they're doing?
That's so goofy. All right. Anyway,
you want to talk about your man Logic?
Yes. Never mind. I'll get to it.
I'm sure you want to talk about his new album coming out this week, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't ever want to hear about a Logic album coming out.
You want to talk about how this is his last album before he retires, right?
You know, his retirement is noble. He wants to retire and be a family man. And, you know, he says he was smart with his money. I'm sure he made a lot of money. You know, good for him. I think just like, I've just never seen anyone announce their retirement and stay gone, except Barry Sanders. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see.
Well, he announced he's retiring, but then he also announced that he's signing a deal with Twitch.
Yeah.
To presumably stream him playing games.
Yeah, he said he was already doing it.
Yeah.
He's already got the platform. He said he loves video games. And, you know, this gives him a chance to... He said he hates social media. I feel you. And he said this gives him an opportunity to, you know, connect with his fans intimately on one platform. They all got to come to him. And, you know, he said he's going to be playing music sometime. He's going to be doing different stuff. Like, he streams at certain times. Like, I'm high key not mad at it. Like, super high key not mad at it. I feel like we definitely talked about, like, social media platforms getting into the music industry. Like, I know we talked about TikTok Entertainment. I know we did. But this is clearly Twitch Records. Like, they,
I mean, his first stream with them since the partnership is going to be, wait, what's today?
The 21st.
Right now, so actually, we were recording this at 8:05 p.m. Eastern. Right now, he is premiering his final LP on Twitch as we speak.
There you go.
I guess what I can't understand is, how are you retiring to spend time with your family, but then you also sign a 7-figure deal with Twitch?
You know, I feel like, I think retirement is just the wrong word.
He's shifting.
He's shifting for sure. Because when you think about when you're an active artist, you're like, I'm going to this award show. I'm, you know, promoing this album. I'm going here. I'm doing this. I'm on this platform. I'm here. I'm doing this. And to only be on Twitch to, like, get rid of all of that, which is, it seems like that's what he's doing. You know, I guess my question would be, what are the requirements of the deal? Like, if they're paying you 7 figures, then, like, you're going to have to hold up your end of the bargain for sure, right?
Right. Like, I'm guessing it's not just, hey, whenever you do decide you want to stream, make sure you do it with us. Like, I'm guessing there's some requirements. But, you know, I'm being a little cynical. But what I'm probably not acknowledging is, while it's easier for a musician in 2020 to make music, actually making the music, right? You don't have to spend as much time in the studio, et cetera. That actually is theoretically more family friendly than it would have been 20 years ago, right? But so much of being a modern popular musician is being on tour and making money that way. And I imagine that's got to be part of this, right? Is it's like, if you can make money and not have to be on tour, that's got to change the game if you have kids and you're an artist.
I shut it down every summer.
Shut it down like computers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, low key, he's ahead of the curve, because we've been talking about, you know, what artists are going to do with touring, and you can't get out the house, and how are people going to do that? You have an already built in ecosystem. So yeah. If you want to tour this album, you could literally say, you could sell like times. So you could say, all right, these tickets are $10, $20. And it's like a movie. It's like watching a movie. Like, the movie theater is showing the movie at these times. So you could do like 3 shows a day and do the same show and charge, and people from all over the world can buy the ticket just to watch the stream. I think that's pretty ingenious, honestly. Like, everybody, and I got to get it. The people who want to hear that all day.
You ready to get Twitch popping?
Listen, man, we're going to have to do something. I'm moving into a bigger spot, and I got some ideas for these extra bedrooms. Like, yeah, we're going to have to do something, cuz I'm not going on tour. not only because of COVID. I just like being at home. I like being at home with my family. Like, I'm boring, but I still want to rap.
We just got to get you set up with the reality show At Home with the Wake-Ups.
Oh, bro. Like, high key. Like, super high key.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm with it. Premiere on YouTube. Premiere on Twitch. Yeah, Twitch. If you're listening to the show, Twitch, shoot me a DM or hit us up, info@clockradiospeakers.com. We can get it popping. And get it percolating.
Anything else you want to say about Logic and Twitch?
I'm happy for him. I think it's a great idea.
I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, instead of like trying, normally when an artist's deal, because this deal must be up with Def Jam.
It got to be.
Otherwise, Def Jam will be like, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take some of that Twitch money.
Gotta be. Well, let's see. Because most albums are five album, or most record contracts are five album deals. So looking at Under Pressure. Okay, so that's Def Jam. So he's got Under Pressure, The Incredible True Story, Bobby Tarantino.
Tim and Bobby Valentino.
Everybody, Bobby Tarantino 2, Young Sinatra 4, and Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
And then this new one, which is No Pressure.
So he probably, I'm just looking through to see if, you know, if he released any of these independently, because I know he puts out mixtapes, but now these are all under Def Jam. So he re-upped after the Suicide joint.
Yeah, maybe.
And they're like, maybe. Nope.
But,
give us,
you know,
two more of those.
Most people would be like, okay, let me get my next big deal because I'm leveraging what I did instead. You know, if he's leveraging some of the Twitch, good for him. Right. If Twitch is throwing around money, take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good for him.
All right. Do you want to talk about DMX and Snoop first? Or do you want to talk about Kanye?
I feel like we're putting off Kanye. I have very little to say about Kanye. So
okay.
let's do Kanye and then let's pick it back up with the verses.
Kanye's making news this week. Is the broadest way I can possibly say this.
It's a way to put it.
And as usual, Twitter is probably not the most nuanced place to process what's going on.
Get off Twitter, Kanye.
So we thought that, you know, for a while it seemed like the announcement he was running for president might not really happen. But he ramped that back up. He mm-hmm. did a campaign rally
mm-hmm.
that went viral pretty quickly.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
Became very emotional. Got some bars off about Harriet Tubman, of all people.
Yeah.
You know, Kanye says stuff at this point. We all know it.
Yeah.
But you know, he's still trying to get on the ballot in various places. Mm-hmm. So he's, in order to do that at this stage in the game, you got to have enough signatures mm-hmm. to get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So how do you get a lot of signatures? You tell people Kanye West is going to show up, right?
Yeah.
There has been a lot of discussion online about the appearance or the implication of what they're seeing with Kanye's actions with respect to his mental health. We're getting a lot of amateur psychologists and psychiatrists, as always. What else is going on? I mean, we haven't even talked about the music yet, right? He tweeted and then deleted a track listing.
A very long track listing, might I add.
Very long. With very weird... with really weird combos of songs.
Yeah, like a mix of Yandhi records, some Jesus is King Dre records, and stuff that we hadn't heard before.
Yeah. Then he tweeted another track list that really seemed to still be... Basically, it's Kanye. We all know what's happening. He doesn't know what's on the album yet. He's got a pool of stuff. He's going to work in public and try to refine it. Because yeah. That's Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
And because he likes to work in public, it means we get a glimpse at stuff that 10 years ago we wouldn't have seen from Kanye.
Right.
So where we're at now, what's today, the 21st, at least as of yesterday, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if anything else happened today. But as of last night, Kanye went on Twitter and talked about how Kim tried to bring in a doctor, talked a little bit about Chris, talked about, oh, geez. Talked about how he would never want for Kim to sell a hypothetical future sex tape from North. He was all over the place, to say the least.
Yeah.
It feels trite to even say, like, you know, I hope he gets help. Because, like, I don't even know what we're getting from Kanye these days. I have no idea where his mind state is. I think we have very bad examples of celebrities who go through this kind of public show of what I would just charitably call emotional swings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everybody immediately starts talking Amy Winehouse. They talk Michael Jackson. They start going down this list, right? And you already see the VH1 True Hollywood Story you know, ahead of you, you know, oh, and here's when it all came crashing down, right? Like we all sort of were raised on that and we see that and we're trying to like fit that into this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, I try to keep this relationship with musicians where I'm like, look, if they're happy and they're making good art, that is all I really care about,
mm-hmm.
right? But that is not the kind of relationship that Kanye has chosen to chosen to have with his fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this era, I don't think you always get to choose. Right.
Facts.
We've talked about the changing expectations of younger generations
yep.
on their idols and on their heroes.
Yep.
Kanye has not run away from that.
It's true.
He's not tried to stay private in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's him and his family on E, which obviously existed before he got involved, but it's not like he shut that down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or him being very vocal on Twitter, at campaign rallies or whatever. Like, he's not trying to process this in private. So I struggle with that, right? Where it's like, if he was like, okay, so a lot of people on Twitter are sort of saying, well, he's obviously going through, you know, a bipolar episode and he needs help. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know. Let's say that he was. 10 years ago, without social media, without him being on a reality show, we would have never known.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would have ever known. And I'm trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, today I saw, right, that Chappelle went out to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw GLC was on some podcast talking about how he's going to go fly out and see him and stuff like that. So, like, on the one hand, like, clearly there's some circle in the wagons happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I worry, not even just Kanye, like, what kind of fandom are we having right now? Like, how is any of this healthy for anybody?
Not just Kanye.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
You know, we're all human. We're all going to screw up. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say crazy. Like, we've all said stupid things to our spouses, to our friends, or to our whatever.
Absolutely.
And, you know, here we are. Like, why in the world would I ever want to do that with a megaphone? Oh, and by the way, why would I want to do that with a megaphone when I have so much to lose? Look at Nick Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Cannon has probably said stuff similar to what he said on that podcast to people in his life for years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he said it with a megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
And a corporation got scared, and they did the math, and they decided, nah, Nick Cannon's not worth that to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Kanye is Kanye, but, like, Kanye's not independent.
Right.
Kanye needs Gap, Adidas, E, Def Jam.
Def Jam. Mm-hmm.
He needs them all.
Yeah.
Because the Kanye West show is expensive.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of names in the credits, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of people working on a lot of projects for Kanye.
Right.
You know, does he feel pressure to keep all that up so that he can keep that machine rolling? Does he even know how to stop? I don't know, man.
Think about the pressure that comes with that. You know, like we get stressed out at work.
I'm stressed out at work right now.
and you don't have, you know, billion-dollar deals with your, you know, your employer.
Yeah.
You know, and he has billions. You just said it was expensive. He has million. He's dealing with millions and billions of dollars in four different spaces. So, go ahead.
And on top of that, he clearly feels driven or what, I don't know what you want to call it. He clearly feels like he has to do this.
Mm.
Like, nobody's, like, he clearly feels a need to not only make music, but conquer fashion, but also beyond that, right? Like, he's got all these other, like, side projects. He's got people on payroll trying to, like, reinvent housing and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He clearly sees himself as this, like, historical figure.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh my God. You know, we talk about the importance of having people on your team that will tell you no.
Yeah.
That will tell you chill, that will tell you stop. Otherwise, yeah, like, you think about the machine, the environment, the other people that are relying on, like, the Kanye West ecosystem to feed their families. You know, probably the, you know, if we add the Jesus aspect into it, some people, and this happens all the time, people will feel called. They'll call it, mm-hmm. I'm called to do this. And they'll say, oh, they'll believe because they're called to do it. Then they have to do it right now. And they have to do it all right now.
Yeah.
And that ends up resulting in a lot of burnout, and people fall away from the faith entirely because they're like, yo, this is too much. And it's like, yeah, that's the point. But, you know, you brought up a so much that you said, but like you brought up a great point about, you know, the megaphone.
Yeah.
And I would add a spotlight to that megaphone because it seems like nowadays, not only do you have a megaphone, you have a microphone clipped to your shirt. And because social media makes you feel like you have to share everything and say everything. I mean, we talk about this at length, like the things that Cardi and Offset go viral for. Oh, they were at the theme park. And that's not a new thing. You know, we've always had this unhealthy obsession with celebrity. And
oh, for sure.
This ideal of the stage, and when people get to the stage, and I think that's why there's so much. I think that's an underlying reason why a lot of people don't have empathy for Kanye. It's not just, you know, the things that he says. It's not all of that. I think one thing that people are not taking into account is that they look at that platform and they feel like they could do it. And if they were there, they wouldn't respond to it the way that Kanye is responding to it. And I think that's because we look at the platform and the stage in an extremely unhealthy way. Everybody wants the stage. Everybody wants the platform. And it's like, dog, no, you don't. No, you don't. And I think we're just seeing somebody. We've seen Kanye grow up, literally. Like I don't know if we've seen an artist or someone with that platform developed to that degree, to this degree. Like Kanye has gone through so many like versions of himself. You know, he almost feels the need to reinvent himself every single time. Can you imagine reinventing yourself every 2 years, 3 years? I'm sure that's exhausting. And it's like, dog, here we are. He's burnt out. He thinks he can run for president. And he's doing a lot of things wrong. And then also take into effect that Jenner Kardashian wheelhouse, and that brings in a whole other set of problems. So there's a lot going on, and it just sucks. It just sucks. You said it, like, it goes without saying, we want him to get better and we want him to get some help. But there's some other stuff that we need to address, too. We need to address the environment. We need to address our own perceptions and our own heart towards things and how we see things. And how we see ourselves in those things, the unrealistic expectations that we put on people, the unrealistic expectations that the environment and the stage and the megaphone and the spotlight puts on people, the importance of having those spaces. Like, it wasn't just that Nick Cannon said what he said, it's because he said it with Professor Griff. Like, some conversations, if you're going to have them, you probably shouldn't turn a microphone on or turn a camera on.
What led him to think that having Griff on his show was going to end up any other way than bad?
Sure.
I think the best case scenario is nobody listens to this, right?
It had to have been, I don't know, duh. Like, I don't know. That
he's,
it could,
I mean,
be
Griff
that.
is like persona non grata in the entertainment industry.
Do not collect 200. Don't go near that guy. And I think maybe it was either that, or maybe Nick thinks I have a 10-year, 15-year relationship with NBC. I'm hosting America's Got Talent.
Man, he had a relationship.
Right, right. And that's what had, like, dog, everybody's moral code is different. Everybody has their own set of standards. And when you add morality into that stuff, and when you add like relationships and friendships with money, like those corporations, they're always going to pick money. They're going to pick money, and they made you feel like you were their friend. Sure, some of those relationships could have been genuine, but I also wouldn't be surprised that they made you feel like a friend because you were making them a lot of money. And the minute you jeopardize that, it's a wrap.
It's also one of those things where it's like, do you think, I mean, I wonder how much they, like, people like that think about, if I say this, or if I go on this thing or this platform, look at all these downstream effects that could happen. Like, I think if you think too hard about that, you get paralyzed with indecision, and you end up you just don't do anything, right? Because it's like, oh, well, if I say the wrong thing, it's not even just his family on the line. You know what I mean?
Right,
Right. I mean, the whole Wild and Outcast is like, what do we do?
Right.
Because now you announce, well, I didn't own that show. NBC has to give me my show back. No, they don't.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, wait a minute.
No, they don't.
Give?
No, they don't. They don't owe you any of that back. Yeah, and that's just where we are. It's amazing just this society, this culture that we live in right now, where it's like there's so much, there's so much advocacy going on, but like it also matters how you advocate, because if you advocate in the wrong way or if you piss off the wrong people, like it could cost you your job, it could cost you your safety, like it's crazy. So I don't know what Kanye does in this instance. Like, of course I want to hear Donda, but like, am I excited about it? Not really. And I've been a Kanye homer these last few years when a lot of people haven't. But I'm also not blind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a lot going on. There's just a lot of checking that needs to happen from a lot of different places, not just Kanye.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like you look at... I don't know if you saw the last screenshot he tweeted, which just said Donda coming this Friday.
Mm-hmm. And I did see that.
Yeah. I mean, like, one of those tracks is a reference. Like, yeah, he hasn't even done anything with it yet.
Where's Dre? Probably far away from this.
Well, you can see, right? You see, you know, Dem Joints, who's one of Dre's producers, his name's all up in this because I'm sure that's true, you know? Whether it's Dre affiliated or... Maybe Kanye's like, wait a minute, Dre, you've been hiding this guy who can take this work and put drums on it for me? What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
I need people like that.
Right.
Not a peep from Dre, but Dem Joints on that Donda snippet that we've heard, he's got production there. Like, I have a feeling like a lot of this stuff comes out of those Dre sessions, even little bits, you know?
But like, stop. But stop.
Like, I know.
You were getting positive momentum based off of Watch This in the Blood. Dre was on it. Dre mixed it. Like, it had his touch on it. It sounded finished. Like,
I know.
Just stop doing the 10 things at once or the 4 things that you have to do, you know, with those entities. And if the 5th one is music, then like, just make sure it's right. And then sit down and focus on the other thing. But of course, that's easy for me to say, right?
I know.
Sucks, man.
I'm trying to imagine like that Donda record that we heard, like as in the order that he played the last screenshot from less than 24 hours ago, it's a new version of New Body.
Mm-hmm.
It's Alien, which is from the Yandi sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Donda. I have no idea what's going on. I mean,
but why clearly, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He clearly needs a deadline. I get that. But man, you know, we were sitting here when we heard about him working with Dre and we hear Washington's Blood. We were like, OK, this might be professionally done now because Dre's not going to have any tolerance for this. I think we're still right with that because here we are. He says Donda coming this Friday. And I'm looking at a screenshot of what is very clearly he has loaded reference fixes and reference tracks and random versions of mixes into iTunes. And he's trying to pick the order out.
But I almost wonder what was his work ethic like before this? Like, was College Dropout like this? Was Graduation like this? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when College Dropout leaked, he was able to get those other 6 records done pretty quick.
So yeah, I mean, but he was in a zone.
Is he not in a zone now?
I don't know what I'd call this.
It's a different type of zone.
His attention was 100% on one thing.
Exactly.
Like, this is very clear. Like, he's trying to give, he clearly feels that when, I'm sure we'll hear him rap about it, but like, all indications are due, like, as what has happened previous times when he's had these sort of album release things happen, he does not appear to be on whatever meds that would normally have him on, right? Mm. And he clearly is like, listen, I've done this before, I'll do it again. I can put it together. You know?
Man, sure.
It's kind of like, you know, if you're an athlete and you always, like, if you're like an aging NBA team, you always say that, like, oh, we'll flip the switch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kanye is forever in, oh, I'm going to flip the switch in the playoffs mode. That's his, that is his default music mode at this point.
So him posting the track list, that's like when LeBron What did he say? What did he say that last year with the Lakers when they didn't make it?
I don't remember.
He posted something like, I'm going on playoff mode or...
Yeah, 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 something like that.
Something like that. And then they went like 10-10 and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah. I just hope this is not a case where it's like the enterprise of Kanye West is so big and has so many hanger-ons and yes-men and people and all that, that the machine keeps going if what he wants to do is stop. I don't think he wants to stop.
Yeah.
He's not talking like somebody who wants to stop.
Right.
But I don't even know if he knows how to stop, if he feels he can stop.
Yeah.
2020, man. It's always something.
Always.
So you think we're getting an album on Friday?
I hope not.
Smart Money's no, right? I mean, when has he ever been on time with an album?
Yeah, I don't know. But I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. I don't want to hear anything that's not all the way done. Like, it was cool on Pablo, but like, you know.
Yeah, it's like, no, Pablo didn't need to be all that.
It didn't. And it was dope and it was great at the time. But like, you hear some of those songs, you're just like, man, if only this was finished. Wasn't necessary.
So I'm looking at this. So Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, and then the two Wyoming projects, Ye and Kitsy Ghost, those were on time, as was 808s. But Jesus is King was a month late. That's not even counting the delays of Yandi, right? Late Registration was almost 2 months late. Cruel Summer was 3 months late.
Yeezus wasn't late?
Yeezus was on time.
Wow. Interesting.
But that's because the previous iteration of that album was So Help Me God, which didn't even happen. No, wait, that was after. That was Pablo. But yeah, Pablo was 531 days late. Jesus. Graduation was almost a year late.
Yeah,
Watch the Throne was like 6 months late. Same for College Dropout. So this isn't new, you know?
Yeah, it's not new. You're right.
Yeah. I was just scrolling through Twitter. This is interesting. So for the two J. Cole records that are coming out, I guess they'll come out tomorrow night. So Wednesday night. One is produced by him.
Okay.
The other one is produced by him, T-Minus, and Jetson. So he's very clearly heard he's like, okay, I hear what these new kids are doing.
Let me get the youths.
Yeah. The song's called Lion King on Ice, though. I don't really know.
Yeah. He's got to get away from No Name as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah, he does. You know what? Yeah. That kind of came and went, though.
It did.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the good thing about it is that the music will kind of bring it up a little bit, but I feel like it'll squash it forever.
Well, as with all things, like if the music's good, some people are going to forgive.
For the most part.
I'm not saying all people, some people.
Yeah, yeah.
If he drops a stinker, though.
Then he has a problem.
The knives come out.
Yep. The guns come out.
Man, I went on a run. I was trying to answer a question that I didn't know the answer to.
Okay.
What happened to Lloyd Banks in 2005 and 2006?
His album leaked, remember?
I know, right? So because his first album comes out in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, actually.
It's pretty good.
There's some records on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big withdrawal leaks.
Yep.
Because reportedly, what? Two women he was having a thing with grabbed a burned CD of an unmixed copy out of his car.
Yeah, I heard he left it in the car.
Right, something like that.
But like that's, I don't know. That's still weird though. Like, I don't know.
Have you ever heard that?
Have you ever heard The Big Withdrawal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it. It's not good.
It's not. I went and re-downloaded it and listened to it this week. It's not good at all. And then he puts out The Rotten Apple in 2006. Which was like this leaked, I got to put something else out. Also, not good at all.
Had a couple joints.
Nah, it's pretty bad.
Cake was dope.
Cake was cool.
At the time, Cake was dope.
It was. But like 2 years before, I mean, part of that is related to a little bit of a G-Unit fall off.
That's, yes.
But this is, you know, 50 was in, I'm making, you know, G-Unit radios in my Connecticut mansion and shooting records. And shooting videos for songs like The Mechanic. Like, that's that era.
Oh, that's right.
Like, how, huh? How did, I don't know. Like, it's what's just unbelievable is, like, how bad the beats get for Banks so quickly. How generic and crappy they get.
You had to save them.
Listen. They clearly hadn't found a sound yet. No, it's true. I mean, yeah. But no, I was trying to figure that out. I was like, man, what happened to Banks? Because the whole point was that PLK, was it PLK? Whatever it was without me and
that was Halloween Havoc, right?
No, that was before. Was that? I think Halloween Havoc was the next one because I had two beats there too.
Okay.
But anyway, when he started using my beats, like that was like a mixtape comeback for him.
He was doing those mixtapes to get back on. Yes,
that's right.
Correct.
Yeah, and I was like, man, because that was a pretty big fall off for Banks. Because like you might have assumed, right, that. Much like we had seen previously in hip hop, it's like, oh, well, you got the main guy 50, but then you've got the next guy up. But the fall off is severe.
Yeah. But also, he does have that late run in 2009.
Oh,
2010,
yeah.
Beamer, Biz, and Bentley.
Yeah.
That album has some joints.
Records. Yeah. No, I mean, he found his win again. But like, especially if you think about like the big withdrawal was 05 when he was working on that. None of those songs are like remotely of the caliber of the kind of beats that were on other Aftermath projects in 05. Like it's weird.
Like that had to have been, these are just songs that we're doing and this is what I have so far. Like there's no way, there's not a single, a street record, a mixtape. Like all of those songs are really bad.
They're almost all just terrible.
I wonder, should we, wonder if we should, see if what our Patreon audience thinks of that project.
You know, I'd be happy to make that available for our Patreon people. That's okay. Fine.
Okay. So you can go to patreon.com/CRS podcast. You can go directly through clockradiospeakers.com. Sign up, support us there. There are two tiers. We offer pre-shows and all types of different goodies and things of that nature. Shout out to our Patreon crowd who support us so far. You guys are great. If you want to be part of the squad, right? The posse. I've been to posses, man. Anyway.
I don't know. You listen to our president. We're about to have posses or whatever back. He's got unlabeled pseudo police roaming the streets of Portland coming to a city near you.
Yeah, Portland stuff. Oh, Portland.
I know, man.
Oh, Donald.
Oh, Donald.
Man. Oh, Donna.
I hadn't seen when you said, oh, Donald, I heard, oh, Donna in my head.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Because, you know, I sometimes forget about like a thing at work, but my brain will never forget all of the terrible or mediocre Wu-Tang projects between 1997 and 1999. I can't forget that.
And if you want to remember, we did a three-part Wu-Tang retrospective. You check that out on clockradiospeakers.com.
That's
as
right.
Well.
That's right.
It's pretty funny. That era, that episode is pretty funny. Like the early ones is like really good. We're getting nerdy and
yeah.
Cuban Links is great. 36 Chambers is great. Oh yeah. Man, the flood to Cal. Oh. But yeah, once we get into like Bobby Digital and Capadonna's second album, it gets funny.
Really, the whole idea of Bobby Digital, just one of the biggest heat checks in hip hop history. It's like, here's what I want to do. Now that I'm at the, I'm like coming off of the, you know, sort of this incredible run. What if I had a mask and I was a superhero?
And he rimmed out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he airballed that.
No, he came so close.
Yeah. Crazy. All
right, man. You ready to talk about DMX versus Snoop?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
This is an unusual combo.
Mm-hmm.
DMX aside, I'm trying. Had we talked about Snoop as a possibility for this before?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Who did we think Snoop would have been good to pair with?
We weren't sure. We talked about, you know, there's this group of like Snoop, LL, Nas, Ice Cube.
You know, Snoop and LL wouldn't be bad.
Snoop and LL wouldn't be bad.
Long careers, you know, mm-hmm. Varied careers, a lot of different sounds. Like you could see that'd be interesting.
Yeah, lots of ups and downs.
Right.
But. Never mind. We'll get there. Yes. Snoop and LL. I think Snoop would watch LL though.
But Snoop and DMX.
It's the Battle of the Dogs is the swizziest idea I've ever heard in my life. Nobody else but Swiss said, yo, we should put you in there with Snoop.
You think he's gassing his man up?
Oh, absolutely. But you're gassing him to die.
Swiss is definitely picking his records, right?
That ain't gonna help. But yeah, like if it was up to DMX, DMX would be playing like Lord Give Me a Sign, Who We Be. But I mean,
he still might have to play Who We Be, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So what are your I have records identified. I want to talk about them. Like what I think they should play. But it seems like the conventional wisdom is Snoop should win this going away, right?
To answer your question, yes. Pretty handedly.
Do you think that's accurate?
What, that Snoop should win?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Snoop has records from 1991.
Yeah.
DMX's run is from 98 to 03.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 5 years compared to 30.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this isn't going to be close. This isn't good for X. This might be like Manny Fresh, Scott Storch levels.
Well,
where I'm not disrespecting X because y'all know I love X, but like styles make fights.
That's right. And so what if, see, I think there's a scenario. I think there's an opening for DMX here.
How?
There really aren't any, I mean, I take it back. There's a really obvious core group of honestly, almost roughly exactly 20 records that he should play.
Who, X?
Yes.
Okay.
There's not a lot of room for messing around.
Okay.
Now that's limited, right? But I think we've seen on these versus battles before that there is a real, like, basically our generation aspect to it, right? Like, a lot of people roughly our age who grew up on New York hip hop are going to pay attention to this. And there's going to be some East Coast bias at play here.
Yeah.
Snoop has more records and should win 100%. But I would be worried about, will Snoop play the wrong records? He has so many. Will he get distracted and play the wrong records, basically? Mm.
So you're saying this is Snoop's to lose. And if he doesn't go about it the right way, X could sneak in.
And make it interesting, at least. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, now, on the other hand, as you pointed out, he could go, like, DMX could play completely the wrong records. Like, we're going to know pretty early. Well, maybe not. Like, really, I don't know. I wrote down 21 songs for DMX. He should not play anything other than any one of these 21 unless I'm missing something, right? Because for him, he has a pretty tidy package of guest appearances and singles and memorable like songs. Whereas, I mean, Snoop can go all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we should talk, I want to talk about like different records, but like, you know, what if Snoop thinks it's like a flex to play? Seriously, what if he thinks it's a flex to play the Katy Perry record? He could. I think that's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
Right? But he could. Because his catalog is so big. What if he plays the Wiz Khalifa record?
But the Silva, we have, oh God, please don't. But you're right.
I mean, there's more room for error. Now, there's also a huge upside, and he should wash him.
He should. He should watch X.
I mean, he could make it halfway through his set and barely be squeaking out of the death row days. Correct. If he wants to.
Correct.
You know, correct. Like, he should be fine.
He should be.
But I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm not going
to start. You want to start with DMX's or Snoop's? The records they should play.
It's up to you. I don't have a list. So.
All right. I got a list. I'm going to run that. Let's start with DMX.
Okay.
He's got to play Rough Riders Anthem.
Of course.
He's going to play Stop Being Greedy.
Is he? I feel like Stop Being Greedy is one of those records that, like, I don't know if people understand how crazy that record is. But
it was
maybe
it was a single.
Off of
his iconic debut album.
Yeah.
He's playing all the singles from It's Dark and Hell's Hot.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, we know that we are wildly off course. Things are bad. But like, he's gonna play Get At Me, Dog.
Has to.
He's gonna play How's It Going Down.
Yeah.
unfortunately, he's going to play Party Up. There's
that
no
might
way
either begin or end his set.
Oh man, no, no. There's no way. Rough Riders Anthem is the end of the set, right?
It should be.
Can you? We get to the end. It's just whistles. Swizzy's going crazy. It's like, oh no.
Swizz in the back flailing his arms. Please don't.
God, he's going to play Party Up, though.
He's going to play Party Up, for sure.
He's going to play Money Cashos.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to... I think he should play Blackout.
He won't.
Probably not. I think he should.
Okay.
He's going to play What These Women Want.
Yep.
He definitely should play 4-3-2-1.
Yes.
And also Money, Power, Respect.
Agree.
He should. There's a whole run of like collabs, right? He should do 24 Hours to Live.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should do Shut Him Down.
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Here's the problem. If you don't include Shut Him Down, you start running out of tracks that are good.
You didn't even say the quintessential DMX song.
Which is?
The intro to Is Dark and Hell Is High.
Oh, you know, that's a good one.
He should open up his set with that.
He's definitely opening with that. Yeah.
Yes.
I think he should play Murdergram and It's Murder, but
he's not gonna play either one of those. But he destroys Murdergram. Destroys Murdergram.
Unfortunately, he's gonna play Slippin'.
What you mean? Unfortunately, Slippin' is crazy.
Slippin' is terrible.
Did we argue about this on our Rough Riders Retro?
I think we did, because Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood is an awful album.
It didn't age well. It was good at the time.
I hated Slippin'.
Nah,
it's so sad.
That's the point, Doc. Yeah, I'm thinking Bring Your Own Crew. Is he going to play No Love for Me?
I think he will.
Is Dragon going to like pop out of a box and rap his verse?
The camera pans to the side. He's riding a quad down the road and rapping.
Dragon still regularly, like, he does freestyles on YouTube and like they get decent views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fam. I think he should play Grand Finale, but I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either.
He's definitely going to play What's My Name.
Yeah, he'll play What's My Name.
He's going to play X Gonna Give It To You.
Yep.
He's going to play We Right Here.
Yep.
And I think he'll play Who We Be.
Probably.
So I think he's going to play more harder tracks than you do. So like I'm trying to figure out where, like, there's like four tracks of that I mentioned roughly that you were like, nah, I don't think so. And I'm trying to figure out where he's getting, what records he's pulling out.
I should know DMX's discography better than
so,
this.
So I'm trying to think if there's any big singles that I didn't mention. I don't think so. I think I got them all off If There Was X. I'm looking at Great Depression. Hold up. With Faith. I don't even remember that song.
He might do I Miss You. Where?
I didn't say Get It on the Floor.
Where are? I feel like there's some more posse cuts that he could pull from.
I didn't put on Where the Hood At.
He's definitely going to play Where the Hood At.
You think so?
Yeah, because Where the Hood At, that's big in the, is that the record that I'm thinking of that's like super big in the gaming community? No, I'm thinking X Gonna Give It To You. Sorry.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, hold on.
He's definitely playing X Gonna Give It To You. That's for sure. And he's playing Where the Hood At, maybe. And Get It on the Floor, I could see.
Okay, shout out to Tidal for having a guest versus playlist for DMX.
There you go.
Okay, so we got Money, Power, Respect, 4-3-2-1, Money, Cash, Hoes. It's on Tear It Up. Wow, Tear It Up. Oh, my God.
What is Tear It Up?
Young One single.
No, he's not going to play that.
I know he's not going to play that. Rough Riders Anthem, the remix, Shut Him Down.
Rough Riders Anthem remix, yeah.
Yeah. Murdergram, 24 Hours to Live, It's Time to Build, Usual Suspects, Why We Die. Remember Busta Rhymes, DMX, and Jay-Z?
That's a terrible song.
It is. Go to Sleep, Eminem, Obi Trice, DMX?
No.
The Jadakiss record with a diss and Jay-Z.
Nah.
They're not gonna play that. Die For Me, with Dragon. What's Really Good with Cameron, they're not gonna play that because he doesn't even rap on that. That's all
it'd
I got.
Be funny if it'd be funny if he played it and he just
like that's the only record he plays. Like he just plays the hook.
Yeah, and he does it live. He's just like, what? Really? God.
Yeah, I do think he's gonna do Lord Give Me a Sign. What about Kato? Remember Kato?
Who?
Hey, yo, Kato.
Nah, come on.
No, he might. Ooh, does he play Niggas and Start or something?
That's interesting.
He should do that because he destroys that. And that beat is crazy. I should rap to that.
I mean, I guess the real question is, right, like, does he just go deep on his Darkest Hell is Hot, right? Like, does he do Look Through My Eyes?
Oh, God, please.
Crime
God.
Story or I don't know.
ATF. Does he do like one of the Damien records? Like, does
you're right.
He do a
started
prayer?
Something. Yeah. Done started something. That's it's an underrated record.
Super. Super. That record is crazy. Oh, see, I don't even like this playlist from Tidal. Snoop Dogg Essentials. Like, this ain't even touching him. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's about what we have. If we're missing any records, please let us know before Wednesday.
But to me, I think he should definitely try to stay in the, like, he should definitely just, like, play for the fans. Like, we know what, like, the hardcore fans want to hear.
Yeah, it's almost like it's what Jadakiss did. Like, yeah. Jada didn't touch. He didn't play Why.
Thank God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his biggest record. So you were thinking of Verses.
Yeah.
You know, there were in some of those earlier battles, people were, you know, we talked about those trump cards, the Jay-Z yeah, card, yeah, Beyonce, yeah. Rihanna. Like, Jadakiss has some of those cards. He has the Mariah Carey card, and he didn't play any of that. He was like, nope, sticking to my guns, mixtapes.
And it worked.
It worked. He won. Yep. So what would Snoop play?
So there's some obvious ones. He's playing What's My Name.
Of course.
He's playing Deep Cover.
Of course.
He's playing Nothing But a G Thing.
Of course.
He might play Dre Day.
He should.
He's definitely playing Gin and Juice.
He should.
He's going to play Still DRE.
Yep.
I think he'll probably play Murder Was the Case.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think it goes in a lot of possible directions.
I also think he plays, I just had it. Dang it. I think he plays Ain't No Fun.
I think that's probably right.
He plays in, and he does down for my niggas.
Yeah, I think
Be Please, Lay Low.
Oh yeah, I got a whole bunch more songs. Right, I think New York is a possibility.
He doesn't rap on that though.
I know. I mean, the hook is iconic.
Yeah,
I think he could do Two of America's Most Wanted.
Yep.
I think he could do Next Episode.
Nobody can play the Tupac card. He plays the two. He can play the Tupac card.
Of course.
That's a good card to play.
If he wants to go a little R&B-ish pop, right? I mean, he could do Mariah Say Something, but I don't think so.
No, does he have a, he has Signs with Justin, but he's not going to play that, though that song is crazy.
I mean, there's going to be a Pharrell section, right? So he's going to play Beautiful.
100%.
He's going to play Drop It Like It's Hot.
100%.
I think he should play Let's Get Blown.
That's a great song. I don't know if he plays it though.
There's some Timbo records in there. I wouldn't be surprised. What's My Name Part 2? That was a good single for him.
Yeah, I don't think he plays it, though.
I think he could totally go like album cuts from Chronic Doggy Style era, right? Like, mm-hmm. Would I be surprised if he played Stranded on Death Row?
That would be career. He play like Big Pimpin' or something.
He'd play Lottie Dottie.
He could definitely play Lottie Dottie. He won't.
Then he's got like the late 90s run, right? Like Chick Please. You already mentioned Down, Lay Low, World War III if he wants. Like, there's a lot of different, there's almost too many eras. And I mean, we even get to like, he's had later stuff that worked well. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if he played Sensual Seduction.
He's absolutely playing that record.
Yeah.
You could play the Akon record, I Wanna Love You.
Oh, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, he almost has too many big name collaborations. Like, for Verses, what we have seen time and time again, like for the audience that's tuning in, they're not tuning in to hear what you did with Akon in the 2000s.
Right.
They want to hear Ain't No Fun. They want to hear, like, they'd rather hear Stranded on Death Row.
Hits and jams.
Hits and jams. He's got plenty, right? But, like, it's interesting. I was trying to see, like, what else, and I was like, wow, he did a ton of stuff with Dog Pound, of course, but, like, so much of that is so ridiculously, like, vulgar. I just can't imagine him pulling some of that stuff out. You know what I mean?
Like, he, like, nothing's more vulgar than Ain't No Fun or F.U. from 2001.
F.U. is a fantastic song, too.
So he can go there.
He could go there. But, I mean, between the latter-day Dre records, the Death Row records, the Pharrell era records... That alone right there, he's got 20 right there.
He's got 20 easy.
Yep. Easy. It's just a question of like, is he going to stick with the obvious or is he going to try to get like cute?
Right. Right. Right.
It's like the lesson of Versus is don't get cute.
Yep. Yep. Win the fight.
Right. Win the fight. Now, the thing is, like, I don't know if DMX is the right kind of opponent to try to get him into that kind of fight. Like, he doesn't really have crossover hits that are going to try to get Snoop playing records he shouldn't play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Very easy for Snoop to stick to the script.
Yeah, it should be.
You know, hot take.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't believe this, but the more I thought about it, it's true. Snoop is one of the artists that could keep up with Jay in the verses.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Jay's, like, the more I thought about it, I'm just like, yo, people are like, oh, no one can touch Jay-Z in the verses. Yes, they can. It's 20 records.
You
only need 20. There's four artists that can clearly keep up with Jay-Z in the verses, and Snoop is one of them.
The other three?
Kanye?
Yeah.
Drake?
Drake totally can now. Yeah.
Wayne? I know how you feel, but Wayne can absolutely keep up with Jay. Is one of those people where he's going to need a DJ to tell him what records to play.
He needs Manny behind there.
Yeah. If he's got a good manager, Andre the Giant had Bobby Heenan.
Okay. I like where this is going.
You know what I'm saying? If you have the right manager, like, you can go places otherwise. Like, Wayne might get in his head and try to do too much. But if you have a Manny or just a DJ who really, I wonder if he still works with Rosh Move, but if you have a DJ who knows your discography and knows what to play and also knows how to play the crowds, Wayne could absolutely keep up with Jay in the verses. 100%. Jay's not this unbeatable deity in 20 records. Jay's got joints for sure. He's upper echelon for sure. But those four artists can easily keep up with him.
And you know, actually, what would just make way too much sense. It makes so much sense because it would be one of the highest rated verses that you can possibly imagine. Even though you wouldn't think he could keep up with Jay. Jay would not want to walk into a Jay versus Nas versus.
Why not?
For starters, Nas is the underdog. Is never a position you want to be in.
Okay.
Nas can get to 20 records. It's fine.
Oh, definitely.
In fact, Nas would be one of the greatest examples of if you stick to the script and if you pick the right 20,
yeah,
the kind of audience that would tune in to see Nas on Versus is going to eat it up.
Yeah, that's true.
What you don't want to do, like Jay would almost have kind of a similar problem as Snoop might have, which is you can get too cute. Jay, maybe not as much as Snoop, but like still, you know, I'll tell you, like, here's a good example, right? Like, if Jay shows up to do a Versus, he's going to play Empire State of Mind. I just want to prepare you for that.
And he shouldn't, but
he should not.
He will.
Right. There's going to be other records he picks where you're like, really? Because his catalog is so big. He's going to play Holy Grail.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, because you're absolutely right. I hear you. Okay, I get it now. Jay has to play the right records.
It's the right records. It's the curse of having too many.
Yes.
Nas definitely has more than 20 records, but you get in with a DJ, it's not that hard to find the right 20 records.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. I agree.
Yeah. Nas on Versus with a DJ that's a very dangerous competitor.
See, I would like, and in that case, I would have liked to have seen like a Nas and Snoop or a Nas and LL or like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like LL might have, I don't know, because LL's got like 25.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, LL's got like 25. Ice Cube has like 20. Like, there are artists who like, but it's just like, it's just not like captivating.
Sure.
Like, the story you tell. You know, it's all wrestling. So I get the battle of the dogs. It's just a bad story, but it's still a story. It's a way to sell the fight. But I'm just thinking of like who can keep up, you know? So yeah, absolutely. Jay's got to have Guru with him, or Green Lantern or somebody who can tell Jay, no, don't play that.
Don't play that.
You should play this. It's only 20.
It's only 20.
Yeah, man. I'm rolling.
Okay. So all that to say, Snoop should win.
Should win.
But there's some minefields out there.
There's some possibilities for him to slip, fall, and bump his head.
And there also is a possibility where it's like people are going to watch this and be like, oh yeah, DMX.
And they should.
Right.
They should. He has much to benefit off. He has more to benefit off of this than Snoop.
Yes.
Snoop is fine musically. You know, X has had so many ups and downs. Like, you got to remind people of the ups.
Yeah.
So I hope that tomorrow or tonight, I hope that he accomplishes that for sure.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
Nah, I'm tired.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it, as always. Hit us up at CRS Podcast. Let us know what you think. And yeah, we'll be back.